Joel Simpson from the Braves Radio Network, recharging the batteries a little bit, kind enough to join us this morning on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Joe, good morning. Appreciate the time. How is St. Simons? You're taking a little break?
Yeah, it's great down here, guys. We've had a little rain recently, but the last few days have been nice and warm, so all good. All good, but I was interested in what you had to say about Drew Waters because I saw him play a few games when I was down there last week, and yeah, there was a lot of swinging and missing. And let's face it, with the way the Braves outfield is stocked right now, he would have had to have had just a tremendous spring to have made the club. So I think you can pretty much count on him at least starting the season in Gwinnett unless something drastically changes.
And the same deal with Pache. And like you said, there's no rush.
No, there's not. Neither one of them. Pache was very impressive when I saw him on one occasion against the Red Sox. He hit a home run on a cold, windy night that the ball jumped over the fence, the bullpen, the berms, everything else. I was shocked at his power, but he's put on some weight. He's gotten stronger, and, you know, he's on the cusp right now, too. He's about to break in.
Joe Simpson with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Are you surprised by what you're seeing from Felix Hernandez so far?
I am. I was led to believe from some of my friends in Seattle that he was done, that it would be very hard for him to come anywhere near what he used to be. And certainly if he showed any signs of that, they wouldn't have let him go. But, you know, guys that are 34 years old, as he is, they have a great knowledge of the game. They have the ability to reinvent themselves. They figure out how to get outs. You know, look at Anibal Sanchez and what he was able to do. I'm not going to say that he's capable of winning 17 games like Sanchez did, but I think his knowledge of the game is what's getting him by right now, and he's pitching brilliantly.
Joe, he had an initial reaction of, well, I'm not going to do anything differently. And I thought that was maybe just, that's what you say when you're 33 and you got a Cy Young in your back pocket and you're trying to tell everybody you're not done. But there was no way he should have gone back to the well of just trying to swing and miss guy. He's got to play the corners. He's got to actually be smarter than he's ever been now. And I think what everybody's telling me from down there is that's what he's looking like. He's not trying to be a big shot. He's actually trying to make a major league roster and get players out.
Agreed, Chris. If he had gone back to his old way of pitching, he would just hurt himself again. His shoulder wouldn't be able to take that. So he's got to figure out what he can do to the best of his ability and then use his smarts to set guys up and get outs. And, you know, Bartolo Colon, he lost a lot on his fastball, but he's pretty much just throwing fastballs. And what was helping him extend his career was the fact that he was locating it. He was putting it in spots and throwing it where guys weren't expecting it. And certainly Felix Hernandez is capable of that, too.
Hey, Joe, you've been around a long time. People talk about natural ability, God-given. He's the 1% of the 1% of the 1%. What's that?
Chris, what's that supposed to mean?
That's
Are you calling him old?
It's a code? I don't know. Maybe it's terrible code. So let me rephrase it. Hey, Joe, I can't rephrase it. Joe, you've been around for a long time. People talk about God-given ability. I want to ask you two on this one. Greatest natural ability you think you've ever seen, and then give me the guy whose baseball IQ or one or two people whose baseball IQ took what maybe they lacked and put them in a position to be the 1% of the 1% of the 1% to be major leaguers.
That would be Greg Maddux, first and foremost. That's an easy one. Nobody got more out of their ability than Greg Maddux. Nobody was able to push their ability beyond what it should have been because of their smarts more than Greg Maddux. He was an amazing character. I love watching him pitch. I miss watching him pitch.
God-given ability, who had as much as anybody you've ever seen?
Maybe George Brett. George Brett was the best baseball player I ever played with, and that was because he played hard. He was driven to not lose. He loved to win. He wanted to get a hit every time up. And that was a great example of that was one time my first spring training with the Royals, he made an out. He popped up. And even in spring training, he was so angry. He came back. He was kicking the bench and mad that he missed the pitch. And I knew then that this was a guy who expected to get a hit every time up. And darn near did.
But you know what's crazy about that intensity? He also, and Robin Yount was the guy who told me, said, I enjoyed the game, but I didn't enjoy it outwardly. George Brett, for as intense as he was, enjoyed the game outwardly.
George loved to play. He loved his teammates. He loved to have fun with his teammates. he enjoyed every aspect of being a major league player. And that's why he endeared himself to me, and why, not just because he's my friend, but because he was such a good player. He wasn't a great third baseman, but he made himself a good third baseman. And he just had an innate ability to hit the ball and do things, Chris, that you needed done at that particular moment. I saw him hit a ball in the deep right center field cavern of Tiger Stadium in the upper deck. It was 440 to straightaway center. He hit it just to the right of that in the upper deck. He had the ability to do that sort of thing, too, when you needed him to.
Joe Simpson with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. We talk about God-given ability. Obviously, Ronald Acuna Jr. has that. Is he ready to do those little things yet in his career that you talked about George Brett doing?
Yeah, I think he can. I really do. He got to the big leagues sooner than George Brett. The guy that I might put in there behind George at 1A would be Chipper, who also had great God-given ability, and he made the most out of it. And I think Acuna is certainly in that conversation. I know he's having a horrible spring, but you think anybody's worried about that? I'm certainly not. And it may be one of those deals where you see a player really struggle some spring, and then the season starts, the regular season starts, the bell rings, and all of a sudden he's a terror again. He's a great player, and I think he's only going to you know, it's like if you've ever had a Labrador Retriever puppy, it takes 2 years for that dog to calm down and become a really good dog. They're just wild. And we've got one, by the way. And Ronald might be kind of like that. He might be a guy that, you know, after 2 years in the big leagues, all these other things start to settle in. He learns more about the league, and he just keeps getting better and better.
Joe, fine line. It's a three-outcome game now. It seems to be a walk, a strikeout, and a home run. Doing a little thing. Taking an extra base, round in second the way you're supposed to, round in third the way you're supposed to, making sure that it's a double play ball that turns into a double play. Can you talk about how fine a line it is to actually win and lose baseball games now with that three outcome situation?
Yeah, those little things, Chris, are so huge now versus even before, because it's not expected. Those little things aren't expected by most teams. They don't push it. They don't encourage it. The Braves are different that way. And I really throw a lot of high fives toward the Braves coaching staff. You may not see a coaching staff assembled like this one again anywhere. These guys, there's some old school in them, i.e. Ron Washington and Eric Young and Walt Weiss. But there's also the cerebral part of it, Sal Fasano, Rick Kranitz. There's guys who are able to blend the way things used to be done with the things that are being done now, and the encouragement to take the extra base, the encouragement to drop a bunt down and do what it takes in those particular situations, what's required to perform. And the team is a reflection of that, having won back-to-back division titles. I just think the staff is so important when it comes to those little things, and the Braves are as good, if not better, than anyone at that.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Joe, because that's not easy to do for an old-school guy, to use that term, to blend in some of the analytics, some of the new-school stuff. But this staff has done exactly that, led by Brian Snicker.
Well, they have, Nick, and I'm a victim of it, you know. I used to think that there was only one way to do it, and that was the way I was taught to do it, you know, the old-school way. That there are new ways to create build a better mousetrap. And if you're not open to that, then you fall behind and you get lost. And this staff is very open to that and use the analytics to the best of their ability. And they don't force feed it. They don't try to cram it down guys' throats. And I think that's, again, where the players respond better to people who have been there and done that and are able to say, hey, here's something else you might consider. So all of those things work together with this staff to make it as good as anybody in baseball.
By the way, it's also an egoless staff. You have guys who are managers on this staff, and a lot of times that can be threatening.
True.
And you better drop your ego at the door, and the camaraderie there, the relationships they have with each other that then trickles down to the players is big. I want to ask you about two guys. We had Brian Snicker on the other day. The least talked about guy who might be the most important guy is Travis d'Arnaud. The other guy is the guy who's furthest away from him in center field and Ender Inciarte. Now, we might not be talking about him because we think we've seen the best and we weren't even sure if he was going to be here. Can you just talk about those two guys?
Yes. I want to go back to when we saw Darnold with the Mets and he was the everyday catcher for New York. The one thing that we knew about Travis Darnold was that he was a professional hitter. The guy could rake. He could really hit. What we didn't know was that when the Braves are just stealing base after base on the Mets, was that he had a bad arm. We didn't know that. I don't think anybody else did either. But the guy could barely get the ball to second base on one hop, unless it took two hops. So when he got his elbow fixed and things started getting better for him defensively, he can still block. He can still call a good game and all those things. And his arm's healthy again. So look for Travis to have a good year. He had a tremendous year last year in Tampa when he didn't have to catch every day. Tyler Flowers will give him that respite. But nobody's talking about him much, but he was a great pickup for the ball club.
Jolson,
as for Ender.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
As for Ender, he's got to stay healthy. We know what he can do with his legs under him. We know what kind of ground he can cover and what a good outfielder he is. But if he doesn't have his legs, then Ender's value diminishes greatly. He's a terrific talent. And I asked him in spring training, I asked him one thing. I said, how are you feeling? And he said, great. And I said, I'll bet you're getting tired of answering that question. And he just laughed and he said, no, not really. So he's worked hard to try to get healthy and stay healthy. And let's hope it happens.
And it's the one thing Ronald Acuna Jr., Joe, doesn't want to do. He'll do it, but he would prefer to play right field as opposed to center field.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think he's a better corner outfielder than he is center fielder. Nick, there are some things about his game, and I'll just say going back on the ball, I don't think that's one of his strengths. And in center field, you certainly have to do that a lot. I think his arm serves him well in right field, so I'd much prefer to see him in a corner. But the way things are set up right now with the Braves outfield, who knows who's going to play where, except for Ozuna, who's penciled in for left field.
So let me ask you about him. We've asked a few people already. You lose Josh Donaldson, no doubt about it. You lost whether it's presence, whether it's that streak that he had in the middle of the year, because it wasn't a great start and it wasn't a great end, but he certainly won some games, and we saw it in the dugout with the umbrellas and everything else. So, oh, God, how can you lose that guy? If I gave you the choice of securing up the bullpen the way that they have, the end of last year or the trade deadline last year, including a signing this offseason, and Ozuna, would you take Donaldson or would you take the Ozuna bullpen combination over the course of 162?
I'll take the one that they have presently, and I'll say it right out in front of God and everybody that I really like Josh Donaldson. He surprised me. He was friendly. He was easy to talk to. He made our job easier. He was a great big personality in our clubhouse, something that we needed, and certainly his numbers were unbelievable. I'm not sure any of us expected that. But having said that, my personal opinion is I think – in the National League, he would have a hard time duplicating those numbers. I don't know that he's going to get back to those numbers, except going to the American League where he can DH some, and then back in a league that he's familiar with. So at the cost that it was going to take to bring Josh back and the expectations, I don't blame the Braves at all for not making that expenditure. So, again, having said that, I like what they've done in the bullpen. The bullpen's a lot deeper than it was. Marcelo Zuna, you know, we saw him with the Marlins when he was a strikeout, especially on breaking balls. He's fixed that, and he's had good numbers. And I know it doesn't mean a whole lot when you watch a guy in batting practice, as it might relate to, you know, a 7/20 first pitch, but the guy is incredibly strong. My gosh, he's a big man. And he's going to be a presence hitting behind Freddie. And even his pop-ups go a long way. And we saw what he did to the Braves in the postseason with the Cardinals last year. The guy can hit. He's not a gold glover anymore. But he's going to be a force in left field. I'm very confident he's going to have a good year.
Finishing up with Joe Simpson, he joins us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Kind of a general question, but what are the realistic, in your opinion, expectations for this team this year?
I think they're high, Nick. I really do. I think this is a very good ball club, You know, there's some questions. Every team's got questions, and the question mark is whether or not it's going to be Riley or Camargo or a combination at third base. Austin Riley looks really good. So does Camargo. Camargo's a better defender at this point. But that's a question, and it's a viable question because of the defense that's required over there. Starting pitching is really more of the important question, I'll say right now. But let me say this. Even with the injury to Cole Hamels, which was very disappointing, with Soroka, with Fried, you have two guys there who are solid, really solid. But I loved what I saw in spring training when I was down there from some of the other guys that we've been waiting to step up. Ian Anderson looked outstanding. Kyle Wright is dominating. And if Kyle Wright finally believes that he belongs in the big leagues, look out. I think he's destined for a good year if he can just believe in himself and believe in his stuff. I know last year was a horrible disappointment for him and to the team, but Kyle Wright is dealing down there, and so is Touki Toussaint. Toussaint has made a change at the suggestion of Rick Kranitz in his windup, just bring his hands up over his head and behind his head, and it's developed a rhythm that's really smooth. It's like a golfer finding his tempo. Touki's really smooth. He pitched four innings of one-run relief last night against the Red Sox, and he looks really good. So the Braves have some real good depth in the rotation. I didn't even mention Fulton Evich. He had a couple of bad outings, but his last outing was very good. So just from a depth standpoint, I think the starting pitching is in a pretty good place. And then when they do get Hamels back, that'll be that much better. So let's hope that those things, third base and starting pitching, become what we hope they are, and I think they could make a long run.
Well, you didn't mention Newcomb. The idea of presence, you know, it drives me crazy when guys look the part, but they don't shove. They don't actually have the presence. And maybe that's what you're talking about with Wright. He's over it. You know, I stumbled, now I'm going to get up. Ian Anderson, I'm going to stand on the mound. I'm going to play pitch and catch. It's driven me crazy with both Newcomb and Fulton Evich to go, look at you, look at your stuff. And I used to say somebody should stick their fist right in their sternum and say, go look at yourself in the mirror. Do you see what you look like?
Yeah.
Pitch like that.
Yeah, I didn't mean to leave out Sean, honestly. I saw him twice down there. And first of all, I saw him in the locker room, and he's in tremendous shape. And I said, man, I'm going to start calling you Flaco, you know, Spanish for skinny. And he said, no, I didn't lose that much, maybe 10 or 15 pounds. And I said, well, then maybe you redistributed it somewhere. And he said, yeah, I stayed in Atlanta and worked out all winter with the guys, with the Braves conditioning and weight room guys. And Sean's ready to step up, and he's pitching like it. I loved what I saw from him. He's throwing strikes.
And let's finish.
As you said, trusting his stuff.
Yeah, let's finish with this. You don't work in a vacuum in the world of sports. We can talk about the improvements, but whether it's Philadelphia with Joe Girardi and Bryce Harper being there for a second year and the other moves that they've made and what they might want to do at Realmuto and extending him, the Mets, if Cespedes comes back, this division is going to be tougher, but so is the National League. I look at San Diego. I look at Cincinnati for sure. I'm trying to figure out where the extra wins are going to come from, because you really don't want to play the game of having to be the wild card team this year. Because I think the National League has got a couple of better teams in it now.
Yeah, I do too. And add to that, Chris, the fact that the Braves' interleague action this year is going to be against the AL West. The Angels are vastly improved. You've got Houston right at the end of the season. There are some games in that division that are going to be tough for the Braves to handle as well. But I said this when the Braves were playing the Phillies down there, that maybe the single best signing all winter long by any team was Philadelphia firing their guy and hiring Joe Girardi. You know, the guy before Girardi, we used to joke that he was worth three or four games in the standings to everybody in the division. Well, he's gone. And Girardi is a very good manager. He knows what he's doing, and he will certainly get the best out of that ball club.
All right, Joe, listen, appreciate you taking some time to have a discussion with us on your day off, and we'll see you when you come back to town.
Hey, guys, great to visit with you. Look forward to visiting with you several times during the season. I hope you're both well, and I'll talk to you soon.
Right back at you. Joe Simpson from Young the Braves Radio Network. All right, now don't patronize the man.
Sorry.
Joining us, yeah, he's on hold. He heard you.
Right.
Joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line.